Okay, I think we're going to go ahead and get started. Good afternoon. My name is Donna Kravosky, and I am the Director of Parent Relations. On behalf of the Lafayette Parent Association, I would like to welcome you, parents of the class of 2019 and parents of our transfer students, as the newest members to the Lafayette family. So welcome to Lafayette. You must be doing something right, because I've been here at Lafayette now for 25 years, and this is the nicest move-in day that we've had. No rain, no humidity, no super high heat, so you're off to a great start. Before we do start our program, I'll ask that you please put your phones on silent. Murphy's Law, if you don't, I guarantee you it will ring. Now, I'd like to get a feel for who all is here. If this is your first child that you're sending off to college, would you please raise your hand? Wow. Okay, keep your hands up a minute. Those of you around who do not have your hand up, look around and take note of someone near you. And at the end of the program, please introduce yourself and give them your best piece of advice on how to do this. Okay? Let's flip it. Raise your hand if you have sent a student to college before. This is not your first. Okay, new parents, take a look. These are the people that know what to do. Okay? One last group. Raise your hand if this is your last child. Okay, my heart goes out to you. The emptiness is okay. I've gone through it. It's okay. You can get through it all right. I've seen many empty nest parents, very teary-eyed. But I've seen many doing a happy dance, and I think we had one up here who is going to do a happy dance. Okay, whichever you are, it's okay. For those of you who have done this before, keep in mind that every child is different, and this is your student's first time starting here. So it is all new to them. Now, let me tell you about what we have for you through the Parent Relations Office. I serve as your liaison and advocate to the college. I will advocate for your concerns and for your needs. I will provide you with information throughout the year so that you can get answers to any questions that you might have. At the beginning of July, you should have received a packet of information in the mail from me. It would have been one that was addressed to you instead of your student. It would have had the calendar magnet, which I'm sure everyone has on their refrigerator. If you did not receive that packet of information, please let me know today. Either email me or at the reception, let me know, because that would mean I might not have your address or have it correct. You should also have received emails from me called POINTS, and POINT stands for Parent Office Information, News, and Tips. And a POINT email does not come out on a regular basis. It comes out on an as-needed basis. I would say if in the family, if parents have different email addresses instead of one email address, a family address, give me both of your addresses, and I will send the information to both of you. I also recommend that you don't have a designated parent Lafayette College information reader, that you all read the information that comes so that we're all on the same page and we're all up to date and informed. If you have a change of address, whether it be mailing address or email address, if you let me know that, I will take care of letting all the other offices know. So you can do it in one email to me or one phone call, and we'll take care of that. We have two great resources for you. One is the parent website, and the other is the parent handbook. How many people have already been on the parent website? Have you found the parent website? Well, that's great. For those of you who haven't, from the Lafayette main page, at the top is a button for families. Just click that button. You do a lot of scrolling. It's a lot of information. There is a section in there for new parents specifically, but a lot of information in there. Look through it, familiarize yourself with it, so that when you need to find something, you have an idea of where to go to find it. The parent handbook is there. It's an online interactive document, but it's also printable. A lot of parents will print it out so that they have it handy and can page through it that way. Within that document, there's a lot of links embedded, so it takes you to deeper information within each section. So I encourage you to take a look at that, too. If at any time you can't find the information you need in either of those sources, then contact me. I can be your first call. I will get you the information or find you the person who can and get you where you need to go. Now, students made me promise to say this. Students love receiving packages. Okay? Send them from home. Be creative when you do, or you can send them through dining services here at Lafayette. Our dining services, Bon Appetit, has a program called Lafayette Care Packages, and you can go on their website and see all the different things they have. You can send packages for study break, birthdays, get well, anything at all. You can send the package to them. I did see on our list of students that we have a student who is having a birthday tomorrow. So imagine just leaving home and having your birthday. That student is Yukui Zhang from China. So Dining Services has offered to bake a birthday cake for him, and his orientation leader will take him there tonight and pick it up, and he'll take it back to his hall. So if he was worried about making friends quickly, that's one student that's not going to have that problem. Now, I hope all of you have family weekend on your calendar, September 18th to the 20th. It's one of the biggest events that takes place on campus all year. The schedule has been on the website for a while. Registration has been on the website for a while, and some of the events have already sold out. And the three events are already sold out. So if you've not registered for Family Weekend, please do. I also want you to note that we have a brunch and a tailgate, and you cannot get tickets on site. It's all through the registration. You need to register ahead for those. So please take a look at the schedule. Talk to your student and register for Family Weekend. We have a student committee that actually put that program together. They started meeting last February. So they put all these activities together, and it's for members of the whole family. It's not parents' weekend, it's family weekend. So everyone is invited, and there's activities for everyone. These kids want to showcase Lafayette to their families. Each semester, you will also receive a parent newsletter. It's called Hill to Home, from College Hill to Home. It comes out once a semester, and it's emailed to all parents. You do not have to sign up for it. It will go to any parent that we have an email address for. That will come out around the end of October. Now, how many of you may have had sons or daughters that this summer were on like an emotional roller coaster? They were happy, they were sad, they were giggly, they were screaming at you. It's sort of their way of starting the separation. But I want you to know that these students, they do still need and want your advice. They just have an odd way of letting you know. You help them to build their dreams, and you're going to help them to reach those dreams, and they know that. Research has shown us that today's parents are still very influential on college-age students. So we recognize that here at Lafayette, and we're going to ask you to partner with us in teaching your student to be responsible for their actions, for their decisions, and to work on solving some of their own problems. I will try to keep you very informed about all the resources that we have on campus. And then as informed parents, that makes you an even better resource for your students as well when you advise them. We ask that you listen to your student and offer information. Be a resource, not a rescuer who tries to solve the problems for them. But that said, you know your son or daughter better than anyone else. So you will know when there is a time when you need to contact us. If you need information or advice on how to handle something, or if you feel that your student there's a situation that we need to be aware of, or your student is floundering in some way, then call. We will give you the information you need. We'll connect you with the people that you need, and we'll work together with you for your student. Now, some advice for you today would be to give your students some space for these next couple days. But do keep in touch. They are still going to want to hear from home. They're going to want to know what's taking place at home, and they might even let you know what's happening here on campus. Send the all-important packages. It's one way that students make friends. When they get a package in the mail, they are swarmed when they go back home because everybody wants to see if there's anything in it to eat. Please don't change their room before fall break. Don't change their room into the exercise room, the study, the craft room. Some of you, I've probably seen the commercial on TV where a student comes home and the kitchen is now this big and his room is that big. let them come back to their own space. There are lots of books out on the market, too, that are helpful for a college parent. There's a couple that I really like. There's one that's called The Happiest Kid on Campus. Great book, great advice, written in a funny way. There's another one that is very good also, and the title is extremely appropriate. It's called Don't Tell Me What to Do, Just Send Money. That is a great book. And then you all know the book called Letting Go. But now, I don't want you to get hung up on this whole letting go thing. I don't particularly like some of the terms that are out there, like helicopter parent or lawnmower parent or snowplow parent or Velcro parent. You see these in magazines and you see them on TV shows and things. What I would rather you picture is a tandem bicycle. But now your student is in the front steering the course and the family is on the back. You're supporting them, you're helping them pedal, you're reaching out to pat them on the back, and you're enjoying the ride with them. Your students are in for a great ride here at Lafayette, and you are too. I want you to know that I understand what a lot of you are feeling and experiencing today. I've already sent my oldest off. I've already sent my youngest off to school. Has anyone here heard of the boomerang generation? Your kids are in it. It's sobering news, but a research study just came out, and it said 85% of college graduates move back home for a period of time. I had one that moved back home, and it was nice for a while. I know what it's like when you don't have any kids at home. I know what it's like when you have one that lives nearby and when you have one that's on the West Coast that's at a distance. So I do understand what you're feeling. But I want you to leave here today with a good feeling, leaving your son or daughter with us here at Lafayette. And when you go home, I want you to know that they're in good hands and they are now a part of the Lafayette family as you are too. At the welcome program today out on the quad, there will be a time at the end of the program for you to have a time for goodbyes and for your last-minute advice. You can stay right where you are in your seats. You can find your personal space somewhere on the quad if you like. When you hear the bells of South College ring, that is a tradition here at Lafayette. That signals the call to assemble for the class, and it will be the first time the class assembles of the class of 2019. When you hear that, send them off with applause. Send them off with cheers. Give them the greatest hug you can, because that very moment is the one that's going to stay with you, and it will with your sons and daughters, too. Now, again, if I can be of any help to you or to your student, please just call. Some parents have referred to me as the campus mom, and they have sent their students in just to sit and talk or to ask questions, and that's okay. I'm here for you, and I'm here for your students. Thank you. Okay, now when we begin here with our panelists, as they're giving you their information, think about any questions you might have at the end. We will have a question and answer period. You have a sheet of paper in your parent folder if you want to jot down some notes. This is your chance to ask questions before the semester officially begins. I'd like to remind you that we do have information tables in the back, so if you didn't have the chance to pick some things up, you can on your way out, things you might want to keep in that folder. It'll be a handy thing for you to keep your Lafayette papers. So I'd like to introduce our panelists. We have with us today Paul McLaughlin, who is our Dean of Students, Erica DiAgostino. And Erica is our Dean of Advising and Co-Curricular Programs. And we are very fortunate to have two students with us today, two RAs, Valerie Melson and Dan Jureyev. Now, these are both of them are RAs, and they're very, very wise RAs, and they will have some very important information to share with you, too. So let's start with Dean McLaughlin.
Thanks, Donna. Good afternoon. As Donna said, I'm Paul McLaughlin, the college's Dean of Students. But I'm also speaking to you today on behalf of all of my colleagues in the Division of Campus Life. These include the Departments of Residence Life and Student Leadership, Student Involvement, Student Conduct, all the things that you see up on the slide, including religious and spiritual life. All of these colleagues in the Division of Campus Life are involved in what we call the student development process. We work to create a robust set of experiences and opportunities for learning outside of the college's classrooms and laboratories. We work to ensure that education happens everywhere and anywhere, and in our residence halls, student organizations, athletic or intramural fields, and through leadership and service opportunities. In fact, that is the real benefit of coming to a place like Lafayette, a small residential liberal arts college. Education happens everywhere, and it's also why we take our jobs so seriously. In conversations with parents earlier this summer, even this morning as I was walking around some of the residence halls and introducing myself to you, I kept hearing a similar type of question or a theme that emerged. It went something like this: how do I fit into my students' life at Lafayette? Or some parents pulled me aside and whispered, how can I support my daughter without being one of those helicopter parents? So I understand that this is probably what is on your mind. How do you imagine this new role after today? So probably in the last couple of weeks, I saw a picture that I'm going to show you from The Atlantic magazine. And it was a picture that I thought might resonate with you today. I thought I would show it to you because it may be actually how you're feeling. On the one hand, your sons and daughters are ready to be here. They have their college sweatshirt. They have their laptop. They're all coming to college. And on the other hand, they still feel a little bit like this. So I put it up here. I'll keep it up here as you think about sort of this is what I know is happening in your mind. They're ready, and then what? I know you've been through quite a lot of experiences with your students so far, from first steps to the college application process. No one knows their story quite like you do. Perhaps the transition to the college years is easier to navigate when you understand what the college's role is in your student's life and what role we hope you will play in this educational journey. As Donna alluded to, we're not here to take over the parenting role. That role is solely yours. We are, however, here to help you with your sons and daughters. We want to develop them into active, responsible, and healthy scholars and citizens. What do we mean by that? I mean that I, along with my colleagues in the department you saw on the last slide, will work to challenge students while also providing them with the support they need through those challenges. We'll teach them how to manage emotions and work through difficult situations. We'll help them become more autonomous over the next 4 years. Support them in the development of positive relationships, including those with family, friends, partners, and diverse individuals. And we'll help them understand who they are on many levels, and we help students identify their purpose and passion. That's what we'll be working over the next 4 years to do. And we're guided by some certain principles in that work. The one is we treat students as adults, getting them involved in solving their own problems instead of relying on others to do that problem solving. We are concerned with student safety, and we educate them on ways to keep themselves and others safe and intervene when we become aware of a potentially harmful behavior. We never want to see a student hurt. And a third guiding principle is we expect students to take responsibility and understand the implications of their actions as they begin to live in this new community. After the formal presentations this afternoon, Donna mentioned we'll save time for your questions, but I wanted to anticipate some of them now and give you a sense of our expectations for you as parents, but also maybe even address some questions that you might not be comfortable asking here in front of everyone else. The first one, when a problem arises, we would ask that you move like your feet are stuck in molasses. Go slow. The temptation may be to intervene immediately when a problem arises. Remember that many resources exist here at Lafayette to help your students cope with the various situations they'll encounter. Express your support and let them try to solve the problem on their own. It will ultimately benefit them. Lafayette has so many safety nets. Our students and professional staff members are trained to help identify and handle just about any problem that you can imagine. Students need to be able to make mistakes. Part of exploring this newfound independence at Lafayette involves making some mistakes. A student who's terrified of messing up may not be taking positive risks, like trying a new class or auditioning for a theater production or putting themselves out there in brand new, unexplored ways. So when a student makes mistakes, and they will, I prefer to hear from the student directly before I hear from you. Encourage your son or daughter to come see me or talk to their orientation leader, their resident advisor, or their partner, or another trusted faculty or staff member about the issue, rather than you owning the problem. As students try new things and expand their worldviews, their perspectives will then change. Successful students are able to experiment like this because they know at the heart of everything, someone at home believes in them, in their intelligence, in their initiative, and then in their ability to make good decisions. Number two, have discussions about your expectations for their behavior. Earlier this summer, I sent you a link to a parent guide for talking with your son or daughter about alcohol use. Did everyone get that guide? People remember? Yes. If you didn't read it then, please take time to familiarize yourself with this resource. Not only will this conversation be helpful in setting expectations about alcohol or other drug use, having conversations about respecting rules and policies, about community living, and about developing healthy habits, promoting self-responsibility, all of those things, including taking responsibility for one's choices and actions, those are the things that we want you to help them explore through a conversation. There are many potential diversions and behaviors that could derail your child's education. Undoubtedly, one of the most difficult and preventable ones is preventing the misuse of alcohol or other drugs. Dangerous drinking on college campuses is serious business, and I don't need to tell you about the implications of high-risk drinking, since these stories, unfortunately, are covered every day in newspapers across the country, year after year. There are many other possible derailments, of course. Have the conversation about your expectations in a calm and comfortable environment, ideally not during a moment of crisis or anger. One of the questions for me later might be about the college's approach to alcohol, so I'll address it now. The college will enforce the drinking age of 21 years old. We must, since we're in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and it is the law. So in residence halls or on campus, public safety will address violations of state law, including open container or public drunkenness. Easton Police will also do the same. And thanks to a sizable grant we received from the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board earlier this year, enforcement will be increased this fall. We're doing that because over the last 3 years, we've made a lot of progress on addressing high-risk alcohol use. And earlier this summer, your sons and daughters took a course called Alcohol EDU. That course was actually and hopeful to give them a ground sort of base of knowledge about alcohol use. And we captured some data that we'll be sharing with them in 2 days. And the data that I'm going to share with you is that this class, by and large, is not experimenting with drugs or alcohol, not using drugs or alcohol. But when we ask them, how often have they drank in the last month, we have a certain set of data which shows that very few are. Then we ask them in the subsequent question, how many peers do they believe are drinking? And they actually think that something like 85% of people are drinking at least every week. And so there's this perception and reality mismatch that we'll actually show them in the data from their own class of 670 people. As we work diligently to combat high-risk drinking and behaviors that promote the rapid consumption of drinking, like drinking games, we also educate and provide alcohol-free events, encourage students to be responsible with their choices. Help your son or daughter by talking openly about alcohol and other drugs. Empower them to say no when something doesn't feel right. Learn all you can about prescription medications, alcohol, and other substances, and don't glorify your own youthful drinking games, if you have them. Leave lines of communication open on this topic. And one more point before I move on. The college has a Good Samaritan policy that allows any student to call for help, help for themselves or a friend, with the understanding that they will not face any criminal charges or college-related conduct charges as a result of that call for help. Obviously, we encourage students to intervene with a friend's drinking before they need to be transported to the hospital or before they need to have that kind of intervention, but safety is our top priority. So if they see the signs that someone needs to receive help, we want them to get that help, and we've encouraged and trained all of our student staff to learn how to see those signs. Number three, don't ask your sons or daughter if they are homesick. The power of association can be a dangerous thing. A student once told me that they didn't even feel homesick until their mom called about 2 weeks into the semester and asked them if they missed her cooking, if they missed the family dog, if they missed the family and friends back home, etc. The first several weeks of this semester will be action-packed. You have a guidebook in front of you that you see the next 4 days, and it's very structured. The next 2 weeks will be similarly structured with welcome back festivals and concerts and student involvement fairs, all sorts of things that will keep them very busy meeting new people and adjusting to this new home. So unless they're reminded by it, by a well-meaning parent, I'm sure, they'll probably be able to escape the loneliness on their own. And even if they don't tell you during the phone calls these next few weeks, I'm sure they do miss your cooking. It's difficult for a student to make a new life at the college if his home life keeps pulling him back. So let your conversations contain a nice balance between what's happening here at Lafayette and what is happening back at home. A minute here about our health and counseling center services might be helpful. We have several highly competent and trained medical and counseling professionals in the Bailey Health Center. The center is open 6 days a week and can care for most any concern. Our services in the Health and Counseling Center are done free of charge. Our staff in the counseling will even provide up to 15 free counseling sessions each year, and their hours are similar to the health center. Your role related to these services is to encourage your daughter or son to utilize these services if you think they would be helpful. Many people are here to help your sons and daughters succeed. We make ourselves available to them and welcome students to come to us with their issues. We involve them in their own problem solving so they will be better equipped to deal with the next challenge. Finally, as Donna said, think about your parting words today. They are crucial. Whatever wisdom you have to offer, whether it is I love you or I'm behind you or I'm proud of you, say it today. If you can't express yourself verbally, some of the dads in the audience maybe, send them a letter or a text once you leave campus. Your children will remember this moment forever, and your words will be forever imprinted in their minds. More than 20 years later, I remember exactly the farewell moment with my own parents in the parking lot and how tightly they hugged me and said they loved me and said they would miss me. We said our goodbyes. I then went off to have all of my orientation, and I turned around and the car wouldn't start. So I think they actually had a little bit better, like worse start than I did to the farewell. But it is a really important moment, and I know that you'll all get to have that in just a little bit. So that's your role and our role in a nutshell. It's a partnership for sure and one that we take really seriously. We couldn't do it without you, and we want you to trust us that they are in good hands. This is a new start to your adult relationship with them and a chance to learn new things about one another. I look forward to meeting all of you, and I invite your phone calls or emails if there's anything that I can do that might be helpful to you or to them. Thanks so much and welcome.
Hi, everyone. Like Donna said, my name is Erica D'Agostino. I'm the Dean of Advising and Co-Curricular Programs. I'm about to begin my ninth year here as an administrator. And in addition to that, about 24 years ago, in August of 1991, my parents sat exactly where you were as I began my voyage here at Lafayette during orientation. I came a long way, all the way from Palmer Township, which is about 10 minutes from the college. Despite the very short ride home, I clung to my parents' leg as they were ready to leave campus, but things went just fine, and I began what has been, ever since then, kind of a love affair with Lafayette College. Donna and Paul have both given you some great pieces of advice. I'm going to offer a few more, if you don't mind. Since I come from the academic side of the college, they will be academic in nature. I hope some of you take notes and pay close attention. So my first piece of advice this afternoon during the farewell, when you are hugging your sons and daughters and telling them that you love them, there is one particular thing I implore you to whisper into their ear, and that is go to class. They should go to every class, every week, every day. It doesn't matter what time class is. There are courses that begin at 8 a.m., and we want them to attend those classes as well as the 2 p.m.s and the 3 p.m.s. Tell them to put down their video games, put down their phone, leave behind the social media, and get to their classes. This is the most important rule of all. I know it seems like a no-brainer, but you would be surprised how many students get to campus and suddenly have missed 2 weeks of classes because they're engaged in other activities. So today, please tell them to get to class. Number two, when your sons and daughters come home, call home, and they say, I'm having difficulty. I'm having a problem in a class. I don't know how to use the resources in the library. I don't know how to get a tutor. please make sure that you refer them to their faculty. The faculty here at Lafayette have chosen this institution for a reason. They didn't want to work at a Research One institution involved with graduate students all day. They are here because they want to work with undergraduate students day in and day out. Every member of our faculty has posted office hours. Your students can find those hours on their course syllabi. They're posted outside of every member of the faculty's door. And the majority of our faculty also have websites. So even you can go on the website and find out when their faculty have office hours. Faculty should always be the first line of defense, whether it's the classroom professor for a student who's having a difficult time, or the faculty advisor if your student is thinking that perhaps they're placed inappropriately or they're just not doing well in a particular major. Make sure you're referring back to the faculty. That's what they're here for. Number three, when the first wave of dreaded exams rolls around, and that will be in about 3 or 4 weeks, so prepare yourselves for the immense amount of text messages and phone calls you'll receive as anxiety builds around that. Make sure that when they call home and they say, my test came back and I'm going to fail out of college, I got a C on my exam, let them know that the world is not falling apart, but that college is very different from high school. I learned in my fall semester here, my first year, that college was definitely not high school, and I had to tweak my study skills so that I was as successful as I had planned on being. When your students say to you, well, I received a C on this exam, or I got a B minus, and I can't believe it, I'll have to study longer or try harder, I want you to tell them to just stop, take a breath, stand back, and not necessarily study a larger number of hours or just try harder. I want you to refer them to the attic. The attic is our academic resource center located in my building in Scott Hall. I want you to tell them to sit down and access some personalized academic coaching. Sometimes the smallest tweak to study skills can make all the difference in the world. Maybe they need to redefine how they take notes or think more critically as they're reading a book. Tests are going to be very different here in college than they are in high school. There won't be any more fill-in-the-blanks with a word bank at the bottom or multiple choice. They're going to be required to synthesize a great deal of information, some of which is presented in class only for a moment or two, and they'll have to show a great deal of knowledge on their exams. So they may need to adjust how they prepare for exams. Next, when you come on campus for family weekend, which we hope you all will do, I want you to ask your sons and daughters how things are going, especially if they're not the type of student to call home regularly and tell you every little piece of information that's been going on. Ask them what's happening with their classes. Ask them how they're doing on tests and exams. Make sure they're staying involved. If they tell you that a problem arose and they didn't know how to solve it or they couldn't find access to the information, chances are they are not telling you the truth. There are a lot of folks here on campus. Many of us are here all hours of the day, and we only live blocks away, so we are quite available to students. There are faculty advisors, deans, resident advisors like the two we have here on the panel with us, partners who serve as peer advisors, orientation leaders, the list goes on and on. We are all here to answer questions at any point in time. If a student is an athlete and their coach can't answer a question, they'll call us. We can get information to your students. All they have to do is send up a flare and let us know that they're having a difficult time. Finally, I would like for you to remind your students whenever possible to use the resources that are here on campus. I like to think of college as an all-inclusive buffet or an all-inclusive resort where you pay this really hefty price tag to get there, and then there are all sorts of activities, and why wouldn't you use them all? Why wouldn't you get a peer tutor and talk to somebody about prestigious scholarships and fellowships? utilize the counseling center, go and meet with the dean of students, tell your students to go see their first year class dean, Chris Salina, who's somewhere hiding in this room. There are so many of us here. There are so many programs and offices that can lend support. We really can offer any kind of assistance that's necessary at all. If you have any questions at any time, especially if they're academic in nature, I want you to feel free to call me or any of the deans in my office at any time. There is a federal regulation about providing information to student records. So if you would like for us to be able to have a very open conversation about how your son or daughter is doing, they would need to sign a parental consent form that actually allows the folks in our office to talk directly with you about grades, attendance, things of that nature. If your student does not fill out one of these consent forms, when you call me, you will undoubtedly get angry with me when I tell you that I can't disclose what their grades are. However, I will let you know that if you call the office and I say, you know, Mr. Smith, actually, I was hoping that your son or daughter would come in and meet with me. That is my code word to you that there might be a problem and that maybe you should text your son or daughter or call them and say, you know, I think the dean is trying to get in touch with you and you should probably go and have a chat with her. I hope I've given you at least one or two tidbits that you'll take with you and utilize. If nothing else, please use the go-to-class tidbit because that's the easiest. Lafayette is an amazing institution. Like I said, I have had a love affair with this place since the day that I took a tour way back in November of 1990. We are not perfect. No college or university is, but we are absolutely a community like no other, and we will 100% take care of your sons and daughters as long as they allow us to and come and talk to us when they need us. Enjoy the rest of your day. We will be at the president's house later this afternoon, so if you have additional questions, please feel free to come and seek us out. And welcome to the Lafayette family.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dan Dreyev. I'm from New York City, and I'm a junior here at Lafayette. I'm majoring in economics and government and law as a double major. I'm also an RA on campus in South College, where some of your sons and daughters may be housed for the year. On top of that, I'm also a member of Phi Kappa Psi fraternity, and honestly, I still vividly remember our orientation experience. It was a really great time, and I really have to credit Lafayette College for that, because RAs and orientation leaders go through a 7-day intensive training program. We started last Thursday, and we go from about 10 a.m. to about 7 p.m. every day, including Saturdays and Sundays. And we go through various trainings, and we do it because we really, really want to give back to what we received. We had a great orientation experience, and we want to welcome the first years back to welcome the first years to Lafayette and show them a great time that we had here as well.
Hi, my name is Valerie Melson. I'm also a junior here at Lafayette College. I'm a neuroscience major. I am also an RA in Keefe, which is our special interest resident hall, so I do not have first years. I am also a member of Kaleidoscope, which is a social justice peer advocacy group here on campus, so I will have a select few of your students a little later for orientation sessions. We are also both posse scholars, and we work at the gym. I'm an associate supervisor there for intramural sports if your students are interested in playing at that level. And today we have a few skits prepared for you just to give you a brief idea of some ways to handle certain situations that we are sure will come up. There are two versions of how you can do it, and hopefully you will very quickly be able to see the one that we are pushing more strongly.
Yeah, let me just pull out my parent phone. All righty. Hey, Val, how was your day?
It's okay.
You sound out of it. What's wrong?
Well, my roommate is kind of getting on my nerves.
What happened this time?
I was trying to sleep because I had an 8 a.m. exam this morning, and she comes in with two of her friends at 1 a.m. They were playing music and talking until 3 a.m. I couldn't sleep.
Are you kidding? You know, I'm really getting sick of this. Do you have a number to Residence Life? Because I'm going to call them first thing in the morning. Don't you worry about it, honey. I'll handle the situation.
Thanks, Dad.
All right, round two. Hey, Val, how was your day?
It's okay.
You sound out of it. What's wrong?
Well, my roommate is getting on my nerves.
Still? Tell me what happened.
I was trying to sleep because I have an 8 a.m. exam this morning, and she came in with two of her friends at 1 a.m. They were playing music and talking until 3 a.m. I couldn't sleep.
Have you talked to your roommate about having friends over that late?
No, she should know that it's unacceptable to have people over at 3 a.m.
I agree, she should know, but because you haven't said anything, she probably thinks it's okay. Just speak with her first. If the problem persists, talk to your RA.
Thanks, Dad. You always know how to handle every situation.
So we hope you picked up on that. So we don't want you to have to jump into every situation that your son or daughter may encounter here. In this particular situation, it would build, for your son and daughter, it would build communication skills. It would teach them how to approach a situation in a certain way, and it would teach them how to deal with conflicts out in the real world. So, and you never know how, if you potentially intervene, it can constrain the roommate relationship even more. So keep that in mind, and let them learn, let them grow.
Right, exactly. It's really important this first year for students to become advocates for themselves. College is all about that in life, really, learning how to speak up and say when you need help and say and learn how to handle situations. Of course, we want our parents to be in the students' lives because that is very important. But work with them. Show them how to talk through a situation. Guide them the right way to discuss this with their roommate. But don't feel as though you have to take it over and you have to solve the problem. Also remember, Dan and I are RAs, and there are, I want to say, 90 RAs on staff here to help your students navigate these types of conversations. We are willing to walk them through how to discuss this. We're willing to be in the room to have these discussions with them and their roommates if we see this as a problem. It's okay.
All right,
skit number two. Sorry. I have a bone to pick with you. Why didn't you call me back?
Because I was busy, Mom.
That's no excuse.
I don't know why you're getting mad. You talked to me twice today already.
But you were supposed to call me back.
I have a lot of work, and it's hard to call you all the time.
All right, son. I can check back with you later tonight.
Mom, I have to go now. All right, scene two. Hi, Mom. How was your day?
Work was busy. I went from meeting to meeting, another one right after the other. How was your day?
I've been really busy here, too.
Well, we haven't spoke yet this week, so tell me, how are things going at your school, with your roommate, in your classes?
So far, so good. I have no complaints. I do have my first test for calculus next week. I'm a little nervous.
Oh, it'll be okay. Just study and try to do your best. Will you let me know how it goes?
I will. Well, Mom, I was just checking in to see how things are going at home. I'll call you next week sometime after my exam. Tell Dad I said hi.
I will. I'm looking forward to seeing you and meeting your friends at family weekend.
I can't wait. My friends want to meet you, too. I told them you were bringing your special triple fudge cookies. Love you, Mom. Bye. So you have to understand that when your students don't call you, it doesn't necessarily mean that they forgot about you. A lot of students here at Lafayette are very busy, especially this week for us has been super crazy. So I didn't get a chance to call my mom and talk to her like I usually do with my dad. So just understand that sometimes it's just out of their control, and sometimes they want to call you, and all of a sudden they'll look at the clock and be like, it'll be 12:30, and be like, oh, well, you know what, I'm not going to call them now. So just keep that in mind. But I would definitely recommend calling them if they don't call you. But
yeah, I would also say that every relationship is different, so you know your child best, and so you have to work with your child to figure out what's the best calling strategy. If you're calling your child three or four or five times every day, that's counterproductive. They will never call you because they'll just think that my mom's always calling me. So I would say try a hands-off approach. Say, hey, are you free? Text them, are you free a little later to talk? You know, I'd really love to talk to you if it's been a few days. We each have different ideas of what a long time is. A week, calling my mom once a week, once every 2 weeks, is not that bad to me.
Yeah, I call her like every 2 days. So.
So there's different levels. There definitely is different levels. Talk to your child, figure out what works. I know in the beginning of the year, my mom tried a handoff approach when I first got to school, and she just was not going to call me until I called her, which is the extreme case. And I had to tell my mom, like, you're allowed to call me. Like, and now she calls me. She just left a message, and she said, you know, I kind of miss hearing your voice. Like, call me back when you get this. And so I will call my mom after this and let her know I'm alive because, like we said, these first 2 weeks, it does get tough to make a call because your child is meeting so many people. They want to get engaged and be involved, and time just slips away.
Especially during orientation because their schedules are so jam-packed. So it's just really difficult to get that going.
But they definitely still love you.
Yes, they do. All right, so we'll open it up.
We could do one more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for the package, Mom. It came today.
Did you like it?
Of course. Your card was so funny. How do you know I needed your chocolate chip cookies and more socks?
Because I know you. And I actually listen when you talk.
Thanks. It really cheered me up. It was just what I needed today, Mom. You're the greatest. So, yes, we love packages. Please send them.
Yes.
Some food is always preferred.
When you come up from Farrenon, from the mail room with a package, everyone's like, ooh, what's that? And everyone's happy for you. It's always great to know that, like, someone was thinking about you, someone cared. It's nice to unpack it and to be able to share things or just to have something that reminds you of home.
I always lie because I don't want to share my food. I'm just like, oh, I just ordered something from Amazon.
Really?
I want those cookies.
Most other people share.
Doing it all wrong.
Okay. Thank you for the skits. I think you got some message from some of them. Okay, we're going to take a few questions, and then following that, we have a short video to show you that was made by some of our students for parents, and I think you'll enjoy the message that they have for you. Now, as you take a minute to think, and we get the mics ready, I'll share with you a question that I had from a parent, and she said, what do you do if they never call home? So I told her what another parent told me, which I thought was great. She wrote a letter to her son, the old-fashioned kind letter, and just said, I miss you. I hope you're doing well. I'm including a gift card to Marici's restaurant so you can take your new friends out for pizza. Have fun. Love, Mom. She sent the letter, but not the gift card. 3 days later, she had a phone call. Okay? So just remember, whatever problems you encounter, there's always a way to solve it. Just call me. Okay, we are going to take a few questions. We're fortunate with today we have two orientation leaders with us. These are leaders who are going to be working with your sons and daughters these next couple days. And let's see, Kevin, would you introduce yourself?
Woo! I'm Kit Kat Kevin!
I'm Nick.
And we're the Parent Relations
Committee! Woo! Thanks. Like I said, I'm Kevin. I'm a senior from Baltimore, Maryland.
Woo!
That's awesome. I'm undecided. Just kidding. I'm studying geology and engineering studies.
I'm Nick. I'm a sophomore from outside of Pittsburgh, PA. I am studying chemical engineering with a minor in Spanish.
And we will be at the reception, so when you guys want to talk to us, just come up and say hi.
Okay, raise your hand and they'll bring a microphone to you. Who has a question for us today? First question is always the hardest.
There we go. Thank you.
Yes, I have a question about their academic schedules. Are they going to have a chance to speak with someone if they need to change a subject or a time? Because my daughter's concerned, she's not sure if she's taking the right math, and she was wondering if she would have an advisor to help her with that or what level Spanish she should be taking.
Okay, so a couple things that I will say. there were online placement tests on the first year registration website. So hopefully she took her placement test so she's placed appropriately. Tomorrow morning, every first year student will meet with their faculty advisor from 9:15 until 10:15. Faculty advisors have already received student schedules and backgrounds, so they have an idea of what types of courses would be appropriate. For students who think they may not be placed appropriately, and if they do meet with their advisor and the advisor thinks that some changes are in order, in the afternoon from 1:30 to 3 o'clock tomorrow, we have a course adjustment schedule. There is a member of every department and program on campus, in addition to the registrar's office. I will be there. We'll also have some general advisors there. And that's a time for students to move in and out of courses, whether it be that they just decided they no longer want to take philosophy, or perhaps someone from the math department has said, instead of beginning with Calculus 1, maybe you should start with Math 125 or something like that. Ideally, we will get all the schedules in place by the end of the day tomorrow. If not, the first 2 weeks of the semester are a drop-ad period, so students can continue making changes. I will say, if your students are still making changes in the first week, tell them to make it snappy and get their schedules solidified by the end of week one. Entering into a new class week two is really not ideal, so we try to move that process along by having this session that we're hosting tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay, another question? Up front.
Are they expected to show up their first day of class with all their books already?
Well, yes and no. If students are still adjusting schedules, faculty are very understanding. As long as they get to class with a writing utensil and some paper, we're okay. If it is the end of week two and they still don't have their books, it's a problem. So as soon as their schedules are finalized, please remind them to go and pick up their books.
And usually professors will send an email stating, oh, read pages 25 to 32 for the first day, like, you know, and that way you know you have to bring your book to class. But other than that, they're pretty lenient.
It's also a good way to meet new people if you need a book or if you have a book and the reading is short. I know the first couple of weeks I finished reading the chapter and I was handing the book on to someone else just to help them out until their books came in or until they finalized their schedule. So that happens.
Okay. Another question? In the back?
My side rocks.
This is a good order because it's relative to the books. Supplemental books, do you recommend the kids pick up all the supplementals?
What do our students say?
Google.
It really depends on what class it is. And when you go to the class, if it's supplemental, the professor will say it's listed as supplemental, but I believe this will be a good resource for this reason. If they say a reason and your child is like, yes, that resonates with me, I know some of my friends who are the type of learners who don't need the textbook and they do perfectly well without it. I know others who read the textbook and highlight every single word in it. So it really depends on your student and how they think they're going to benefit from the additional supplies. And something like organic chemistry, it helped me a lot to have an added book. And some other courses, I was kind of like, well, that'll be okay.
I would also just add, before they decide whether or not to purchase it, they can certainly ask faculty if information from the supplemental books will be on an exam. On top of that, if they want to be able to utilize that information but not necessarily purchase it, because textbooks are in no way cheap, there are always copies of textbooks and even supplemental information in the library. So students are able to go and access that. They wouldn't be able to keep the information all semester long, but certainly they'd be able to go take it out and use it whenever necessary.
Okay. We had another question over here. Where was that?
Our daughter is having problems accessing her email. We had three tech guys in, and she's blocked out, and we didn't know whether this was just she was having issues. Is anybody else having a similar issue? And so she can't get in Watson. She can't, you know, communicate to her advisor, get her, you know, get schedules. Like, she's out of the loop of anything. Is this a unique situation? Like, three tech guys are like, we don't know. And there's a ticket. It could take days, two or three, four. They don't know what to do about it. Is anybody else having this issue, or is it just a glitch?
There, okay. Here's what I will say for any, because schedules have been emailed, and we are also sending information about advisors and meeting locations.
Right.
For any students who can't access their email, please have them come to, I'm going to use you as well. They can come to Scott Hall, and they can see me or one of my staff. They can also go to Hogue Hall, the first floor, to the Dean of Students' office. We can easily access banner, print schedules, make sure they know who faculty advisors are and where and when meetings are happening.
Right. She feels very, like, out of the loop. Thank you. Anybody else have that problem?
There were a couple of – so I'm assuming that once the ticket goes in, if it's this – if it's not just an isolated incident, there are a few people, I'm sure that we have not put that at the bottom of the list. I'm sure we'll get that worked out. But in the meantime, as Erica said, we can help her get at least the stuff she needs for the next couple of days, and hopefully it'll be fixed by then.
Okay. Another question? All the way up here. Nick?
Yeah, kind of looking forward to the next semester. At what point should the students be talking to their advisor about making selections for their next semester's classes?
Registration for spring will occur for first-year students somewhere around mid-November. So I would say my suggestion would be that by October, they want to begin thinking about what courses they might want to take. Certainly, depending on the major, some departments have a fairly regimented schedule, and there isn't a lot of room to have choices. But certainly by October, they should begin thinking about what they want to take. And then definitely by the first week of November, they should go in, meet with their faculty advisor. Every student will need to access a PIN number that the faculty advisor has. Faculty will not email PIN numbers, so you want to make sure that your sons and daughters know, and we tell them this information. They have to actually go see the advisor in person so that they can get the PIN, have discussions about what courses they're interested in, potential majors, things like that.
I would also say that the faculty advisor in our sort of philosophy setting this up is that we hope that they're seeing and checking in with the faculty advisor more often than just when they need the PIN or thinking about the next semester's classes. So ideally, they would be checking in with their faculty advisor in addition to tomorrow, where they'll get to know them. They have lunch with them probably in the next 2-3 weeks. They would then check in and say how the first month's going. That's the kind of relationship we hope that they'll have, in which case, through the nature of those interactions, this conversation would pretty organically come up.
Okay, another question? Up here?
So I was curious. I know they take 4 classes a semester for 4 years. If they have AP credits, does that mean that, like, some semester they're only going to take 3 classes, or do they just take extras, graduate? I mean, what do you do? What do they do with those extra credits, banks?
It depends. All of those are fair options. For certain AP credits, like if you have a bio or chem AP credit, it just pushes you up into a higher level chem or bio course, and that just means you're able to explore more of the specialty courses as a senior. It also does mean you could graduate early if you want. There are a few students who do choose to do that. It also means that if you're interested in maybe a BS and a BA because you have those AP credits, you might be able to have a dual degree. It could mean, like Kevin, you're a senior and you technically only need 2 courses for both semesters, which is a pretty
what
nice
up
And so then maybe you explore that course you always wanted to take, but your schedule didn't allow it. Or you decide he's taking a few capstones. You decide then what you want to do. It also might mean that study abroad now becomes a very viable option. I know I came in with pretty much a semester covered, and then I course overloaded to make sure I had that semester. And now study abroad as a neuroscience major is it's completely a possibility for me, and I don't have to stick to neuroscience courses. I can take whatever I want to while abroad. So that just means that she has the flexibility, she or he has the flexibility to do a lot of different things.
And I would also add the AP credit serves as a nice buffer for students who have it. Undoubtedly there are students who get into a class and they think that they'll love it and that they'll do really well, and sometimes things don't always go as planned. So if a student withdraws from a course, that moves them from 4 credits that semester to 3. So if there's AP credit, they have a little bit of wiggle room in the event that they need to withdraw from a course or two, which acts kind of as a safety net. But if things go as planned and she or he receives credit for all courses, then as they get towards the senior year, certainly you can have the conversation about only taking 3 courses, and 3 courses here at the college is still full-time.
I would just also add, for graduate school, if that's something they're considering, some graduate universities don't honor certain AP credits. So although she might have AP for biology, she might still need to take an upper-level biology course if she's going somewhere that requires a bio-in. She also might be like me, I didn't want to come in as a freshman and take organic chemistry, even though I had AP credit for organic chemistry. I took Gen Chem and got back in my chemistry skills because I hadn't had chemistry since sophomore year of high school, and then felt very, very much prepared to go right into organic chemistry as a sophomore. So it's really how she feels it's best to benefit her.
Thank you.
One of the parents in the last session asked about our relationship with the town and what it's like in Easton. And we have a very good town and gown relationship. In fact, you will hear from the mayor this afternoon. A lot of our students go downtown. A lot of them go on Saturdays to the farmers market. We have a LCAT shuttle, and the shuttle takes them to different places around town as well, including the bus station, which is right downtown Easton. A lot of great restaurants. Check out the restaurant guide. We have a program called Lafayette Day, which will be September 12th. All students, staff, and faculty are welcome downtown. It's free food. It's games and activities and things. Meet the merchants. The orientation leaders had a tour, and they met a lot of the restaurant owners and merchants. So they meet them personally and start developing a relationship. Our Landis Community Service Center does a lot of work downtown with a lot of our service things, a lot of different service projects. Many of our students are involved in that program. It's a great, great program. And on family weekend, we're working with some programs downtown Easton on that weekend as well. There will be the farmers market. There will be a chili pepper festival. There will be the Riverside Festival of the Arts. So between the two bridges will be all different artists and things, and we will run a shuttle for parents during family weekend. So you'll get to see a little bit about downtown. And our students might be able to tell us a little bit about downtown.
Oh, one thing I always like to say is Bacon Fest happens. I want to say it's the first week in November at the farmers market, and it's amazing if you love bacon. It's just a lot of it on all types of things, including cupcakes. It's great.
No, yeah, we have a great relationship with downtown Easton, and the farmers market is great. It's beautiful, especially this time of year. It's beautiful to go down there and just explore. And
yeah,
a lot of history, a lot of architecture, too.
The food is great. There's hair salons, too, that I love, so a little bit of everything for everyone.
Okay, another question. We have one back here.
You go right behind it. Yeah, a student is in Roof Hall. Can you explain the process that they go through in between semesters? They have to move out and then move back in. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. So because we do have a winterim period, a January sort of what we call intersession, some students actually choose to stay here and take a course or have another experience, including internships and externships with New York City. But it's not a huge amount of students, so we consolidate students out of our 38 residence halls into just a select few. And as a result, Roof Hall is the only hall that we have students who aren't going to be here in January. They'll actually pack their stuff in boxes. We'll assist. We'll put those boxes in storage for them and then put them back in their room when they return back at the end of January. So we've done this for a number of years, so we're pretty good at it in terms of helping them. But it is true that those students who in Roof Hall won't stay in January will need to pack, and then they'll go back into the same room they're in for the spring semester. They'll just need to do some tidying and cleaning in the middle. And so we do actually say that some of the items that they don't need, so some of the summer clothes and things like that, they'll often take those home at fall break, take some more home for Thanksgiving that they just won't need again, so they're not moving those. And then everything else they need for the spring, they'll just put those in the boxes we provide and we'll assist them.
Okay, I think we could take one more question if we have one. I see a hand up here.
Right over here, Nick. Oh, sorry.
We'll take two, one there and one there. Okay.
This might be quick. A similar question if we live far away and storing things over the summertime from spring semester.
Yeah, so it really will depend on where your son or daughter is coming from and to in terms of their living situation. So we have storage in some buildings we don't. We'll work with local vendors in terms of storage and put that out to students so students can either store with a sort of a local vendor who they drop them off. Again, they store them over the summer and return them to their new residence. Or, again, if they're living in a new residence hall that has storage, they'll take it there. And then when they get back in the fall, they'll be in that building. So, again, some of our residence halls have great amounts of storage and others don't. Some students will choose at a certain point to go off campus. They'll live in some of our off-campus owned properties, and those houses don't have storage in them at all. So it really will depend, but we'll give them options sort of starting after spring break about what they might want to do.
There's a good link question on the parent website about storage, and if you go to that, it'll take you and tell you about the different storage options. Some students will get, you know, two or three students together, and they'll rent just a small unit. And a lot of the places nearby will actually have a service where they'll come pick it up and take it there, and then they'll bring it back. So lots of choices. Okay, two more. We have one there and then one over here.
So the information about AP was fantastic, and that comes from, you know, just having experience as a student. What is the interaction, or how can first-year students benefit from, is it all from the RAs? Can they meet students who have been there, done that, particularly when it comes to trying to figure out study times and extracurricular activities and sports and when to study and when to participate and how much they can take on with their course loads? Should it be also by department if they're an engineer, or you know, how's the interaction? How can they benefit from your wisdom?
Yeah, again, all of the above are options. I would say your RA is a good resource, your OL is a good resource, your partner is a good resource as a peer mentor, all resources to talk to. If they're interested in sports, when they come to intramurals, they will have teammates. Ask them, how did you manage this? Did you really need this book? There is a student that has taken every course before you, and using them as a resource, how did you manage it? I'm becoming swamped. Is really important. I would say the best advice I can say is speak up and ask questions early before it becomes a problem. Also use the attic. The attic has amazing resources for time management. It doesn't necessarily have to be like, I need a tutor, I'm struggling, I don't know how to do it. It could be that, you know, I have 10 things to do. Can you help me organize my schedule on how to do it? Some people need a 8 a.m. I wake up, 9 a.m. I do this. And they really work like that. Some just need a quick, like, how do I get organized? How do I get structured? So the attic is a great place to do that, talking to your advisor, talking to the department head. Every person at Lafayette, if you ask them, I need help, I need to know how to do this, I think you have that information, is typically more than willing to sit down. I've never had anybody say, no, I can't meet with you. I've had a couple people say, I'm running to a meeting, schedule a meeting with me, write your name on my board, I'll definitely email you. But everyone has been willing to talk to me and figure out how best to help me maneuver time management. So that's what I would say.
One quick question, and then we're going to have our video right there.
I was just wondering if your student wanted to take a double major, when can they start that? Is that the second semester? And if so, how many classes is max they can take in a semester?
So students will officially declare their major in the spring of the sophomore year. That doesn't mean that they can't start working towards a particular goal right now, but we give them 3 full semesters to take classes, figure things out. For many students, what they think they want to do changes drastically while they're here. So the spring is when they'll officially declare. Students can take what we call an overload, more than 4 courses. It is dependent on their GPA, and the GPA requirement changes, but generally it's in the mid-3 range. So I believe for now, first semester, first year students can't overload, but beginning in the spring semester, I think they need a 3.6. In order to take an overload. They definitely want to talk with an advisor before they do that. Our courses are 4 credits each. Adding a 5th can be a lot. That doesn't mean that students can't take the 5th and be incredibly successful. Our research does show that even for our brightest students, when they overload, there is a slight reduction in the overall GPA. So if that's something that your son or daughter is okay with, knowing that there could potentially be a slight drop, they can certainly take that overload. I will also say for students in their senior year, let's say things have not gone as planned and they're behind a bit in credits and they have to overload in order to graduate on time, we will allow them to overload despite their GPA. So we do let them throw that Hail Mary pass in the hopes that they can get all the credits they need to get things taken care of, because ideally we want them to graduate on time.
Okay, thank you. We're going to stop questions here, but panelists will be at the president's reception, so you can ask more questions. We're going to have a thank you to our panelists. Okay, I want to thank you for joining us, too. We have a 3-minute video that we're going to show you. But do stop in at the president's reception. President Barley will be there. As I said, other administrators, RAs, other students will all be there. Don't forget to complete the parent survey. You will receive a point email at 4:00 today. If you don't receive that, that means I don't have your email address, but that will contain the link for you for the parent survey. Please fill that out. It's a help for us for next year. And again, I'll remind you, don't hesitate to contact me if you have a question, if there's something you need. That's what I do. I help parents. So now I'd like to, we're going to start a video. We have a video that a group of students from Lafayette made for parents. And I'm sure that if your sons or daughters made a video, this would be their message to you. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy your day.